Thank you for the joy we have in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this day that we can gather ourselves together in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to gather ourselves as a family of God, to worship Thee, Lord, and just to fellowship with one another. And around Thy word, Father, we come here it now, and we ask it, Lord, You bless our heart as we listen. May we have the ears to hear and heart to receive. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, maybe sit it. Now again, we have a lot of verses to turn to, and I want you all to read it. And that's your exercising of how good you are as a warrior, drawing your sword, a double-edged sword in your hand. All right, last week we finished off with that last part of what we want to revisit history, and many of us perhaps now do not know about church history. Alright? So we want to look at this trail of the serpent that is getting so well, you know, how sin moved in his what we call the sly, his cunningness, manipulating the churches after the apostles died. And how throughout Europe, finally he got what he wanted and created the Holy Roman Empire. And the state church was born. And how the discarded system holds the people in bondage. Now, so, I want to let you know that no state church or denomination church is ever built by the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, we finished our last week with what? Jesus as the disciple. Who the men think that I, the Son of Man, am? And the disciples said, well, they say that you are John the Baptist or one of the prophets, you know, this and that. But Jesus said to them, what do you think about me? Who do you think I am? And it was Peter. And of course, I always want to remind you that when you read the Bible, don't read the Bible like one sentence after another sentence as if it is just immediate. There's no immediate. The Bible is a condensed book. Alright? Because later on when we look at it, I will show you other places. So when you ask them, who do you think I am? Now, I don't know how long it takes. Perhaps 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or 20 minutes, Jesus just sat there waiting for them to reply. And the disciples might be looking at each other trying to figure out who Jesus was. And perhaps I would be thinking that John, the beloved one who sat always next to Jesus Christ, might have the answer. You know, and many of them perhaps might be looking to John who sat next to Jesus, and maybe with the body language or sign language in the eye, you know, do you have any answer? You know, do you have any idea? You just get waiting for him, he's closed his eye and just wait what the disciple be, you know, thinking. And it takes definitely for quite a while. Everybody is whispering. Every one of them whispering, I think this and that. You know, everybody has opinion, obviously. Then finally, it was Peter who then stood up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you know what Jesus said to him? He said, flesh and blood did not reveal it to you, Peter. Not because that you are a Jew, or you came from the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that you know who I am. No. It is my Father in heaven who gives you this revelation. And that is true, isn't it? We will not know who Jesus Christ is by our study about this man called Jesus. There are people who have gone through religious study, find out who's Buddha, and who's Muhammad, who is God, who is the, what do you call, Gautama Buddha, and they might be talking about who this Zoroastrian Christian, I don't know who found that, I can't remember now. All these various religious founder of a religion. They might study Jesus Christ in the Bible through history, and then many of them say, well, they are just founder of religion. Great man. You know, they might study Confucius, Lao Tzu. So, yeah, this is a great philosopher. They have their religion. They have created all this. They're good men. You know. So, the same thing in Israel when Jesus walked, the people knew who Jesus was, you know, in the sense that, oh, he was a prophet, he did this, he did that. But who do you think I am? That is the question. You see, that Jesus wants to know. Do we know who Jesus is? And that's what Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal to you. It is my Father in heaven to reveal to you. It doesn't mean that a person who is intelligent will know who Jesus is, and a poor person who never go to school knows anything. Well, look at John Mark from Uganda. He was not educated. He was a cowboy, we will say. A young boy. His father owns cattle, and he went out, took the cattle out there in the field, and then stayed with the cattle overnight in a little, you know, what you call the mud hut, you know, the African mud hut, you know, sleeping there in the night. A young man, you wonder what he wanted to study, but his father said, no, you go and look after cows. Don't know English, only know his local language, a tassel. The Lord Jesus visited him in the vision. And you can hear his testimony. He was living there and there was a kind of earthquake. The ground was shaking. And then he appeared the Lord Jesus Christ to him. You know. And the Lord told him that when you grow up, you have a work to do. I will send you as an apostle to your own people. Christ came by a second time visiting him and said, I don't know how to speak. You know, and I have questions. And the Lord told him, don't worry, when you grow up, you know how to speak. And you will preach for me in English. Is it impossible? And he grew up. He bought a Bible and learning English by reading the Bible, trying to pronounce the word. And when he stood up the first time to preach, he was preaching a tassel in his own language, and the interpreter was interpreting, but the interpreter was bad because he already saw the interpreter in the previous interpretation for another preacher. He was interpreting all out of context. So when he preached in that tassel, the interpreter was speaking in English, interpreting in English, but he was not doing it right, and he told him to sit down. And he stood right there and he said, "Father," he said, "well, I will preach in English. Now is the time." And he opened his mouth and he preached in English. You think it's impossible? That's why Brother Joma is well known in Uganda, in the province of the Karamoja, people who are warriors, who are killers, rebels. He was a rebel. His people were rebels. And when I was there, visit some of these rebels, they were all converted. And Brother Joma was there when I and introduced me to one of them. And he said, "This guy had killed four people." And I looked at him. He was, at that time I was in my 40s, and this guy looked like he's 50 or 60 years old. And he gave me a grab on my hand and give me a bow. I said, "Okay." You know, and these are killers. But when there was the Idi Amin's time. That's why when Idi Amin was disposed of, the guns were all floating around. People just grabbed those guns and robbed others. But when they became Christian, they give back these rifles to the police, bring it to the police station. And also another thing, this Karamoja, they're half naked. But the moment they saw the gospel, they realized they need to be clothed. Immediately they start wearing proper clothing. You see how God opens up the eyes of those people and educated. It is a revelation. But here today we have this culture, we have the denomination churches. They are not built by the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know that. True church was built by Christ. And it's not having a name. We are Catholic. We are Baptist. We are Methodist. Those churches are not built by Christ. Because the church of Christ is not in a name. The church of Christ is the life in believers. That's why the Bible, we know it has a mystical body of Christ. They are all scattered around the world. Do you understand that? Alright. So, but the problem is also is that we have, when the Catholic Church started, it gives the impression to the people. Back in 300 or the 4th century, all the way to the 11th century, and even until all the way today, the Catholic Church ruled us. Rule Europe or rule the world. We said rule the world because of the known war in that area for 1,000 years. And they give the impression that salvation is found in the Catholic Church. The Pope gives the appearance that I am the vicar of Christ. I speak for Christ. This is the system. This is the church that God built upon Peter. And the succession of popes that came after Peter. What is that in the Bible? But they give the impression that without you believing in our church, the Holy Mother Church, then you don't have salvation. They have given this impression, and so is it today with the denomination. Many denominations have given this impression. The other day I was, I love mission. This is a special mission that I found. It was so good that you don't find it in anywhere in Singapore, anywhere else. Because special recipe, you don't find it in the world. And it's a very famous recipe, very famous mission that people even from other parts of the world came to the store to buy. So I was there in Chinatown, and so I was queuing up, and there came a man and a couple next to me, and a wife on a seat, and waiting that for her board of laksa, misya, whatever. And I start talking with the man, taking a chance to just talk with him. And so we got deciding, we talked to him. I'll talk to him, and then we have a discussion. I said, because the way he talked, I said, are you a Christian? He said, yeah, I am. And I said, how much do you know about the Bible? And what we are queuing up? say, well, we have a cell group, but how do you go to cell group, you know? I said, are you interested in studying the Word of God? He said, yeah, I do, you know. I said, okay, then I'll give you a book. I give him a copy of Interpreting Sacred Scripture. So I get to talk with him a little bit about the system. And then he started listening. And of course, it kind of shocked him. You know, because the truth is always something that you, when it hits you, you want to know, oh, is it really true? You know, to let him know about, a main doctrine I talk about was the Godhead. And he was listening. I said, about the Holy Trinity, about body baptism in the name, and he listened. You know, so I left it to him whether he really do his own research. I said, many Christians are not really studying the Bible. And that is very true. A lot of Christians, even those who follow the entire message, they don't search the Scripture. They don't study the Scripture. They are so dependent on the church. They say, I believe the church. This is the church where I find eternal life. You don't find eternal life in any church. Eternal life is found in Christ Jesus and your personal relationship with Him. You know, don't be like the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, when Jesus went and visited her when she was drawing water, because God told him to go visit her. And you know, she was thinking about, I believe what I believe in. This is the mountain where God gave to Jacob, and this is Jacob's well. This is where we worship. And you Jew, you worship in Jerusalem. Isn't that that's the way many people talk? You cannot, you worship there. You Methodist, you worship there. This is where we worship. God is not in a place. Remember, probably I make a simple statement which is so very true when I first read about it. God is not in the church. Right? So what is God? Is God here? God is not in a place. God is in His own Word. And that's what Brother Ben said. I said, wow. Now I realize. Because Jesus said, the word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's why God is in a person, Jesus Christ. Remember, He was the Word of God made manifest. So God has to be in you. Because if you have the Word, then God will be in you. Many people don't have the word. They just go, oh, I believe in Jesus. Even as God said, they can confess with their mouth that they love me and worship me, but their heart is far away from me. That's true. Oh, that's that the Nigerian man, the article, the testimony. Every morning he goes to work, he passes the church, he visits the church, and says, Lord Jesus, I come to greet you. He might be a simple man. About doing nothing. But as God began to reveal, He said, oh no, you see, the more that, as the Bible said, the more that you have, the more that is required of you, right? So, well, if that's the case, then I want to know more. Come to the church, don't know anymore, and so it wouldn't be required with me. And that would be a very foolish man, because the Bible said, God requires fruits out of you. So you want to say, pray in the run? It's required of us. The more that we know, the more that we grow in His grace, the more we have that relationship with Him. Just like we study on Friday, the case about King David. Why was he so special? Even a man who come in and say, look, Saul, make a mistake. Well, he said, one mistake. Okay, one mistake. Every time, whether it's a mistake or not a mistake, one time you sow the seed. Right? Just one. If you don't correct it, it will roll. Just a little snowball. You build a little snowball star on the mountain there, just drop it on the snow. And see what happens. You roll and get bigger and you get bigger and get bigger. Right? Obviously. Huh? So King Saul made a mistake, but did he repent of the mistake? No. He then he wrote, he became more rebellious. And evil talk came to him. And he wanted to kill King David. Or kill David. But David, yeah, no matter what the kind of person he was, the one mistake he made was when he took somebody's wife. You know. And tried to hide and get the husband killed. Following that, second mistake. Nathan came, the prophet, told him the story. You know what the story is, right? And see how King David would judge the case. And King David judged righteously. And prophet Nathan said, "You are that man." And his eyes was open now. Because when a man is crowded with a lot of errors and commit sin, it wrongs, he just keeps himself away from trying to put God far away so that, you know, won't trouble his conscience. But God doesn't do that. He will come like King Saul. He sent Samuel. He didn't repent. But God sent Nathan to King David. He saw it. He realized it. And God judged him by taking away his son. His son, newly born. Let him suffer. Let the child suffer for a week. And that David will go on his knees. Huh? But once the son passed away, he got up, he realized. And there's a lot of changes in him after that. That's what the Bible says, he was a man after his own heart. You see? So how important then is the word of God? Let's go to the book of Acts 3:19. So remember this, no church ever saved anyone. Alright? Don't tell me that this the Catholic Church will save you. No. And all those baptism, how many times you go to water baptism will not save you. Huh? If your heart is not circumcised, it's an important circumcision of your heart. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Acts 2:38. This is one verse that everybody should know. The very simple, basic confession. We can call this a creed if you want to. Let this be your creed if you want. Not an analyzing creed. The first thing you have to do, as Peter said, repent. Yeah, you have to repent, right? Hey, repent is not just to confess. You know what is repentance? There's a difference between repentance and confession. Alright? You say, "I confess, yeah, I confess, I stole your money, yes, I confess, I'm sorry." But next few days you come and steal it. That is confession. Repent! "Yeah, I'm sorry, I stole, I will not do it again." And you will not do it again. Then truly that you don't come back and steal it. That is true repentance. You understand? Huh? Repentance is that you face that and you make a 180-degree turn away from that. A confession is that you look at it, you turn, and you make a 360-degree turn. And you came back to the same space. "Yeah, I changed my life. I turned away from it." You turn away from it. How many degrees did you turn? 360-degree, and you come back to the same old thing that you do again. Like King Saul. You see? So there's a difference between repentance and confession. And Peter said, repent. He didn't confess. Huh? And what Jesus, what the Bible said, "Oh, they confess me before men, I love God, I love," but your heart is far away because there's no true repentance. And repent and be baptized, second step. Remember, you repent, the second step, go to water baptism. And be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. Some people say, "I repent, I don't want to be baptized." Don't ever say that. But there are a lot of people that does that. Huh? "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Right? Simple, isn't it? And baptism is not sprinkling of water and not pouring of water. That's what the Catholic Church and Lutheran Church, Anglican Church are still doing. Baptism, the word itself tells us, in the Greek word is baptizo. Baptism means what? Immerse in water. Sprinkling, the Greek word is rantesso. What it means, sprinkle or just pouring. The Bible tells you the word, but the Catholic Church go ahead and do the sprinkling, pouring. Lutheran Church follow, Anglican Church follow, some of the other churches still following. And some Presbyterian churches are still doing it. Huh? And you baptize a baby? Can you baptize a baby? Take a baby and put it into the water, a whole, immerse into the water. The baby will be choking. But you, oh no, no, we just baptize with sprinkling, pouring water on head. What did the Bible teach you that? About infant baptism? The Bible do not have it. Baptism is a confession of your faith, and that's why Philip, the Bible shows us many cases. Philip talked to the eunuch out there in the desert. He was reading the book of Isaiah. Philip was transported from Samaria all the way out there. And then he saw this shepherd come in and saw this eunuch reading Isaiah. Do you understand what you're reading? No, I don't understand. I just somebody tell me. You know, teach me. And Philip sat with him in a chariot while they're on the way and talked to him about what the book of Isaiah talks about. Well, I don't know how long it takes. Maybe an hour, 2 hours. While they were on the chariot, and then suddenly the eunuch saw the pool of water there. Said, there's much water here. I want to be baptized. Peter said, do you believe? He says, I do. Then Philip said, you mean? Ask the baby, do you believe? Can a baby talk to you that he believes? He doesn't even know. He don't even have any understanding. A baby is some... Oh, how many of you remember your babyhood? Tell me, how many of you as a baby you know that you were crawling around? Do you remember you're crawling around? You don't remember. Do you remember even that you were walking? When you first said you don't remember. Right? Some people say, yeah, I remember. Really? That's not possible. That's, you know, why the Bible is clear. But if our Bible, the Bible is not the authority of God's word, then you don't have real faith. Mark 16:16. He that believed and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believed not shall be damned. So simple. Salvation is not found in churches, in any church. Salvation is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And whom you have to reckon with. Because the day after that you die, when the day of judgment comes, you have to stand before Him. He is the person you have to deal with. Not the Pope, not your pastor, not any preacher. The moment you stand in the day before the great judgment seat of Christ, you will have to face the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account of your life. All right. Now, in the year 337 AD, there is this bishop called Eusebius of Caesarea. He was the first bishop. Now, remember, this is the year 337. It's already passed. The year 325, where they already formulated the Holy Trinity doctrine and the Nicene Council. But this is the bishop, his name is Eusebius of Caesarea, and he was the first to sprinkle water. So the sprinkle water came in. And he sprinkled water upon the forehead of Emperor Constantine. Now this is our history. You know Emperor Constantine, he was the one who called for that Nicene Council. He was the one who saw a vision of the cross in the sky. By this you shall conquer. And he got all his soldiers get baptized in the sea. And then he began to be the one who pushed for the whole of his empire to be Christianized. Well, like we have in India today. You have the Indian government pushing to make the whole of India Hindu, right? And then we have out there in other countries and in the Middle East, the nation, the president and the government push the whole of the country to become Islamic. You know. Back in the days of Mao Zedong was alive. He pushed the whole country to be communist. Atheism. Karl Marx in his day, Lenin in his days in Russia. Oh yeah. And in the days of Hitler, he pushed it to be under Nazism. Death to the Jew. Capitalism. And what you have? You see. Here we have North Korea. So, we have in those days there when Emperor Constantine was dying, this Bishop Eusebius sprinkled on him 3 times. And he said this, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But yet, as Constantine was dying and he was being sprinkled water by this Bishop, Constantine was still crying out, not to Jesus Christ. He was crying out to Saul, the Son God, for his salvation. Just imagine. So here we have the great bishop baptized him by sprinkling, and here he was crying out to the Son God. Yeah. Alright, and then we have another doctrine they bring forth in Catholicism, and that is transubstantiation. You know what transubstantiation is? And that is the miraculous change by which, according to Roman Catholic and Eastern Orthodox dogma, the Eucharist element, you know, the wafer that they have, the Catholic Church, and the cup of wine, become the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And yet, the bread is still bread. The wine is still wine. Do you understand it? Now, you know, in the Bible, was Elijah or Elisha? Elisha. I always forget these two characters. You know, the 300 Baal prophet. Remember the showdown of Mount Carmel? Elijah. And of course, they put all the sacrifice there, the 300 Baal call upon the God, right? And Elijah then was laughing and making fun of them, isn't it? Call louder, maybe they're on a journey or maybe they are sleeping or something. Call them louder. Right? Because then this is a showdown. The God, the answer by fire, let him be God. So the Baal turn up over, dance and call upon the Baal God, nothing happened. And Elijah said, call louder! And they have, until they were exhausted. And after that, Elijah stood up, pour more water on this sacrifice. And he called the God of Israel, Yahweh. And a fire came down from heaven and consumed that sacrifice. So, think about the ridiculous nonsense that is going on in Catholicism. That's why Satan moved in such a way. He's not worried about the heathen or the paganism. He's not interested in that because after all, the world belongs to him. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, come short of the standard of God's word. So he's not worried about all this religion. They worship the sun, the moon, the trees, and whatever. But Satan's primary issue with God is being that he is an adversary of God, is to try to destroy God's word and his people. So he's thinking and create all this among those who claim to have the Bible and believe the Bible. So when the priest threw up the wafer, you know, it's over in Innofilite, and chili and then Spirito Santo. No, it is all Latin word. It sounds like hocus pocus. And then that wafer becomes the body of Jesus. Think about it. It's still a piece. That's why Luther took the bread in for all this council. He put it on the floor and he stamped on it. That's bread! And then the council of bishop and father, as they call them, because you suck, that is suck, you know, that sacrilegious. And Luther said, that's a piece of bread. How can you be eating the body of Christ? The cup of wine is still wine. It does not taste like blood. When we have our Holy Communion, does the wine taste the blood? No. It's still wine. But the cup of wine represents the covenant of Christ being cut off. Not for himself, but for his people. For us. That our sin can be removed by the shedding of his blood. And the bread is not a wafer. We don't have a wafer. We don't believe in wafer. We believe in a piece of bread. That we break it, as Jesus said, break it. And the Catholic Church says, no, you're not supposed to eat it. You're supposed to put it in your mouth and let it dissolve and swallow it. You cannot bite on it. Because you're biting on Jesus. You can see it's very, very, I mean, some of you think it's funny, but it's true. When you call the Catholic people, and those people of religion who doesn't know, but they are so deep in Catholicism, they will tell you this. I say, really? What did you get that? Because we were taught that. You were taught that. From where did you get the authority? You believe in Jesus, not what Jesus teach you? The Bible says Jesus took bread, right? And he broke it and he said, take, eat it. What do you mean by eat? When you have a piece of meat in your hand, a chicken drumstick. Eat it. How do you eat it? Swallow the whole thing down? Are you just going to do it? You know what I mean? Like you swallow pills? You're definitely eating it. You cut it up and you chew on it. That's what the Bible said in the book of Revelation. God said to John, go and take the book out of the hand of the mighty angel and you eat it. Not swallow it. A lot of people swallow the word of God and they don't know what they're swallowing. The Bible says, eat. You know, eat means to digest it. Right? Now, a lot of people eat, especially as in Japan. You know, people are working so hard and they came out from the office for their lunch break and they have no time. They go there and they order ramen. You ever see them eat? They just, they don't know that we put, you know, every time. They just, in 5 minutes, it's the record that they have. After that, with all that, in 10 minutes, they finish everything. The soup and whatever. Very fast. That is not eating. That is, what do you call it, gouging. The Bible says, it needs to say, you chew on it. Right? Because if you don't chew on it, then you don't have a taste. Then the Bible says, you know, take the, what is it? Taste it and see that the Lord is good, right? How do you taste that the Lord is good? You must actually put something that you take a fruit of whatever. You put in your mouth, you take the time to digest and taste it. You don't put in your mouth and gulp it down. What's the taste? There's no taste. That's why don't we, when we have tablets, multivitamin for example, what do you put in your mouth and bite on it and taste it? You don't, because it's, the taste is no good, right? Because all kind of vitamins taste. So normally put a pill and you swallow it. The Bible then say, those say, people say, do you take vitamins? Then those say, do you eat vitamin? If somebody ever say, do you eat vitamin? We don't eat vitamin. We take vitamin. So words means a whole lot, but Bible usage is already there. And we should know this common sense. Alright. So the substantiation. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 9 verse 12. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 12. Who find it? Please read it.
neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us.
Right. So you see, in the Catholic communion or mass, whatever they have, the death of Jesus Christ is repeated every time they perform it. But the Bible says Christ died only once for all, right? But if you want it with the, in the Eucharist, with the wafer and the cup, they always go through all those chanting and say the whole thing changed into the body of Christ, and the cup of wine became the blood of Jesus Christ. Transubstantiation. It become, they say, it become the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. Means Christ died almost every day around the world. The Bible said Christ died only once. Right? Isn't it? And the Bible tells us too that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. You don't die twice. You only die once. But only in the spiritual that we die twice. Huh? That's why I'm uncircumcised, cut off, I die. When I receive the Lord Jesus, get a new life. That's my death. Water baptism shows I'm dead in Christ. And if I have a second death, it's when I die natural. Huh? Die twice, and you live only once. You will live. But you only die once. After this the judgment, you die a second time. Alright, Hebrews 10:10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all. He entered into the holy place once. That's it. Alright, go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 16. And see what it says here. And if does this verse apply to you? Matthew chapter 13, verse 16. Read it, whoever finds.
For blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear.
Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, that you hear. Because Jesus Christ, when he came preaching, he did not preach and expound it to everybody. When he came, he preached parables. And the people do not understand. Even the disciples, until the disciples ask, what do you always preach in parable? We can't understand a lot of things because parable looks so simple on the surface, but only on the surface sounds right. Make common sense. A sower went forth to sow as an example. Seeds fall upon fertile ground, of course it bring forth. It will spring forth and grow. But seeds fall upon the wayside, of course the bird comes and take it away. If seeds fall under the thorny bush, it will grow up, but it's choked by the thorny bush. It cannot grow up anymore. That's common sense. Everybody will know it. But there is a meaning under it that God didn't reveal to the people. So why then, Lord, did you speak in parable? And Jesus said, I spoke in parable that their hearing would not hear. That's why. In hearing, they hear not. They said they heard. Yes, they heard it. But they don't understand. Because there is a message under it. But to you, he said to his disciples, is make known the mystery of the kingdom of heavens. And Jesus expounded to them. That's why here he says, blessed are you, because your eyes for you see, and your ears for they hear. So do you have eyes to see? Ha! The eyes to see, yeah, the eye, natural eye. But the Bible is not talking about his natural eye seeing. It's talking about a spiritual eye seeing. Huh? A spiritual ear to hear. Everybody here, right? Isn't it? Remember, that's why Billy Graham, when he made a statement when he go around the world having this crusade, gospel crusade preaching, he said, I can go to a city and minister there for 6 nights. 6,000 people will come to the altar call and give their hearts to the Lord. 6 months later, when I come back, would there be 6 souls left of these 6,000? Think about it. 6,000 people come out to the altar here. 6 months later, would that be six of the 6,000? Problem here, statement. A sinner, a dry sinner, can go out into the water and get baptized and come out of the water a wet one. Good, that makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah. There are a lot of people that go to water baptism but still come out a wet sinner. Never a changed person. Because it's a religious thing to many people. Nobody wants to go to hell. Nobody wants. Everybody wants to go to heaven. But nobody wants to die, as the saying said. Yeah, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. What does it mean? Do you ever know what we mean? What the word all about? Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die to self. Nobody wants to deny themselves and follow Christ. They want to go to heaven, and yet they want to be on earth and enjoy the life. Nope. You know, the Bible always says, the Bible always teaches one thing about, you cannot have two choices on your, you know, you cannot choose two out of two choices. No, there's only one choice. Huh? As the song said, there are two roads you may take. One by sight or one by faith. You ought to take the word of God of what you see. Isn't it? What you see is real. God, I can't see you. It cannot be real. But that's where faith is. And faith is not by sight of the eye. Faith is by the spiritual eye. That's why he said, you see. Blessed are your eye that you see. And I said this thing, don't look. See. A lot of people are just looking. But I'm seeing. No. You're looking. You're not seeing. That's why the four horsemen, the four horses, when the seal was opened, the horse went forth. And because the voice of one another says, go! And the horse went out. And then the voice told John, see! He did say, look! So normal time when we are walking, you know, I suppose you're with somebody and then you saw something and say, hey, look, right? But many a time we say also, see. But actually when we say see and we say look, it's what we're saying. But see is to understand. Look does not need, require understanding. Look, a mountain. Yeah, it's a mountain. Do you see the mountain? Do you understand that's mountain? How many of you have to be in Japan to look and saw Mount Fuji? Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah, I see the Mount Fuji. It's beautiful, honestly. But do you see the way that this mountain is built, how it was created, how it comes about? That is to understand about Mount Fuji. So there is a difference between looking and seeing. Alright, let's continue now. And we have next verse, Luke 8:10.
And he said, I tell you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables. That seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand.
Yeah, what do you think? Why did Jesus do that? To his disciples, he made known the mystery. But to others, he said, now I speak to them in parables. That their seeing might not see. And hearing they might not understand. Let me think about it. Kind of hard for us to choose sometimes, isn't it? That Jesus Christ would treat people like that? Huh? That one group, he speak to them in parable. That their seeing might not see and hearing might not hear, but to this group it is made known the mystery. Why? It's unfair. Huh? Let me tell you something. You read the Bible said, do not cast pearls before swine. But we have a lot of stupid people around the world that they take the pig, they give it a good shampoo, right? Smells good. Put ribbons around them, put, you know, crowns around them, dress so nice, right? I hold to it with a leash to a pig show. The moment you let the pig go, what happens? Go back to the wallow in a mud. It's the nature of the pig. to go and plow in the mud. As you know, we don't cast bones before swine. There are people that will not believe no matter how. Yes. There are people that just will not believe. And that's why God knows that. It's a blessing of you who see. Alright? And blessed are you who hears. Thank God for that. Acts 1:14. Now here we look at another case of the doctrine that came into the Catholic Church. Acts 1:14.
These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren.
Yeah. Oh, are you sure you read it right? Maybe I should read it again. Look at the Bible. Oh, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of God, and with his brethren. Now that's my Bible. Obviously it's not. Am I reading it right? And some of you look at me and say, Pastor, you think I'm reading it right. Let me read it again. These all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of God, and with his brethren. But that's the way some Catholic people read it. Mary is never called the mother of God. But except for the Catholic Church. That's why I said, when you take the Bible, it's not what we call exchanging words, because it's an equal, like 1 + 1 = 2. You know? Or we will say that if 1 is equal to A is equal to C, C must be equal to 1. Of course, we know that. But that's no way you cannot do with the scripture like that. Why not? Father of Jesus is the son of Mary. And he's God, so the mother must be God, right? Oh. So that's how they equate it. You know what I mean by equation? Yeah. Very good, isn't it? That's what we call alternative math. Well, 2 + 2 = 22. Now, a lot of kids will be doing that. They don't know why it's 2 + 2 = 4. And 2 + 2 = 22, because you put 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, it's 22. So if Jesus is the Son of God, is God, and Mary is the mother, and they must be, and since he's a God, then mother must be God. So mother of God. You know, it's very sad that the world is filled with a lot of Catholic people, and you try to help them understand. No, they won't. There's a lot of fear in people. And so when you're indoctrinated and law into something and you don't really see what truth is, you're so indoctrinated because you believe in an institution or an organization, you just hold to it for your dear life. Don't have faith in your church, not even this church. I'm telling you that. You better have faith in the Word of God. You better have revelation in the Word of God. As to who Jesus Christ is, as to who you are. Not because you belong to this fellowship. Nothing to do with that. No church can save you. None. The only one who can save you is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the Word of God made manifest. Outside of that, there is no eternal, no life, no salvation. Is that right? That's a fact. So he says the mother of Jesus. So now, then you also the doctrine that the church is the mother of all believers. You heard that? The church is the mother of all believers. That's why you have a mother church. The Catholic Church is the mother church. And this is the statement that was made during the Roman Empire. Holy Roman Empire. He says this, no one can have God as father who does not have the church as mother. God's my father, the church is my mother. That's why they depend on Mary. They depend on the church because the mother church We don't have no mother church. We don't have father church. We don't have son church. We don't have daughter church. We just have the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes! Isn't it? We only have one true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that has nothing to do with the four walls and the roof. No. The church of Christ is a mystical body of spiritual born children of the living God. Do you see? But, you know, as I said many times, sometimes a lot of people quote a lot of, you know, quote is good. I mean, if you want to quote, you know, quote good saying. I know, like you guys have said about our newspaper, you know, they have this quote that they put on the top right hand corner of the page about life, about living. That's good. Quote by famous people, you know, whether it's Einstein or Waddle, you know, or any writer. That's good. You know, when I was working in a hospital back then, in the rehabilitation hospital, well, we were all by ourselves, and many times we're quite free. And we have a telephone in the office, of course, you know. You know the office, we have that telephone in those days where you dial, they go I believe many of you don't see it anymore. And so, because there are always two staff, and then you have the attendant in the hospital. And when everything is quiet, nothing to do, and sometimes they will chat on the phone. They took the phone, and they talk for hours. You know? So my senior up there, I said, wow, this is bad. I said, okay, and then I put a little saying, a little quote of my own, I created it. I put it on the telephone. It says, speak not more than what is necessary. Right, that's my quote. Speak not more than what is necessary. And my senior said, oh, that's good. Some people who are still on the phone, they saw it. Speak not more than what is necessary. So, quote is good. So what do we have? Quotes. Yeah, nice thing, especially like Trinity in unity, unity in Trinity. Right? Very nice, huh? Yeah. You know? And a lot of time you have this creed that say things like that. And here we have this. No one can have God as Father who does not have the church as mother. Yeah, so this thing goes on and people just hold on to it as if it is absolute truth. But it's not. Alright, so the calendar started this, bringing the church as the mother of all believers. So with that, of course, you know that Mary somehow, they also create and they bring all this teaching that Mary ascended bodily to heaven. Now, you know Jesus Christ ascended bodily to heaven, right? Because they came back with a spiritual body. But Mary did not die. She bodily ascended to heaven. And she became a mediator and an advocate. That's why I had talked to many Catholics and I said, why do you people pray to Mary? Oh, I said, why not pray to Jesus? Oh, you don't understand. How can you not understand? Your mother's heart is better than the son's heart, isn't it? The mother understands children, right? Her heart, you understand. So you pray to Mary, Mary bring it to Jesus, Jesus bring it to God. But the Bible teaches that. Who is the mediator between God and man? The Bible said there is only one mediator between God and man, and that is Christ Jesus. Now they put another mediator. So you have man, God, Mary, Jesus. Wow. Did Jesus die for you? I mean, or was it Mary that died for you? Huh? How come Mary's heart is softer? More understanding than Jesus. Really? Why? Because we were talking about mother's love. Mother's love. Of course we know mother's love. Why are we talking about mother's love, not father's love? Why? But yet the Bible talks about the love of God, who is the Father. There's no love of God that is a mother. The Bible used the masculine because God is neutral gender. God is not a man or woman. His both male and female in attributes. So don't tell me that the father does not have the love like a mother. Only because man was created and woman was taken out from the sight of the man. Remember my article I wrote, or reply, or wrote the article because a friend of mine challenged me. Because he believed, by quoting Brother Branham, that Brother Branham said, if Adam and Eve have not sinned, if they did not hearken to the voice of sin, all they have to do is to bring forth children out of the dust of the earth. By speaking to the dust of the earth, bring forth Abel, bring forth so and so, bring forth daughters and sons out by speaking to the dust of the earth. Right? Abel come forth and dust will come together. Like you see in anime. Then pop, Abel will stand up. Hello, Mama, Daddy. Good to know you. And next one, he called for maybe a daughter, Tamar. And then the dust comes. And up pops this beautiful woman. Hello, Mommy, Daddy. You know. So the Bible teaches you. But this brother of mine challenged me. I said, that's what Brother Abraham said. That's what Brother Abraham said. That's not true. He said, I can prove him from his coat. You take the coat of Brother Abraham, but do you understand the prophetic utterance of the prophet? Huh? No. That's not why the Bible is a prophetic book. Don't think that everybody can interpret it. Right? What did God create? Male or female? And he asked me then to say that. Well, he was running me all over on the internet forum, the forum, discussing about me and what I believe and all these things. Then he wrote to me, then why don't you say, why did man have nipples? That man gives suck to the baby. Good question, huh? Why does man have nipples? Do we have breasts to have milk to feed the baby? He was asking that. I said, I know the answer to it, do you? So I wrote the article, you can find it on my website. Why do men have nipples? Huh? Of course you know that Adam and Eve, they are the only two persons on earth that do not have a navel. Navel. You know navel? Belly button. They don't have it. And this Brahman, some of them say, Brother, God see that, Brother Abraham, give us the revelation that Adam and Eve do not have belly button. I said, that's not a great revelation. It has been known that they are fact by others already. It's common sense that Adam and Eve do not have a belly button. Do they need a belly button? No, because they were not born. They were created. And when you are created, you don't need that because that umbilical cord, where the belly button left, is right, what do you call that, the remnant, huh? It's because of the umbilical cord that they attach the placenta to your mother. And where there is through the placenta, the nutrients are passed from her blood through into your baby's blood, into your blood as a baby to feed you. That one, everybody knows. You don't need a great revelation. But the main problem has been so great because God has mentioned it. They don't realize the other people already know about it. Everything, oh brother, 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 you paranoids. Wake up! But why do men have nipples? And I answer him, why men have nipples? The details is in my website, go and read it. There's always a reason that God is showing a mystery, you need to understand. So what in this case? Oh, Mary went up to heaven, bodily. They have to create this, because they want to create the mother church, the church as the mother. That's why the Roman Catholic Church, we are the mother church. All those other churches out there, they left us. But now, oh, we are no more separate. We are now united. Yeah, through what? Through ecumenism. The Bible teaches it. That's right. Huh? And yet the Bible tells us this. The Roman Catholic Church is the mother church. The Bible calls it the mother of harlots. And all those out there are the daughters of harlots. Of the daughter of the harlot. The Bible is clear about this. What we see in the physical has been prophesied and has been written even before it happened. And what the Bible says, come out of her! My people! God's people should come out of it. There are those who are not God's people stay. And God says, I will judge her. Alright, let's continue. John 3:13. We see what the Bible, let the Bible speak for itself, alright? I'm not going to say much, but let the Bible speak for itself. John 3:13. Alright, stand up, wherever you are.
And no man have ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, is in heaven.
Yeah, see, no man have ascended to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, that is the Son, who came down, who was in heaven. Now, where do you get that the Bible said that Mary ascended bodily into heaven? Huh? Where is Elijah? Who was translated? He didn't go to heaven. He go to paradise. He's only a non-dimension. Not where God is. That's a translation. Was Mary translated? No? Did anywhere in the Bible they say Mary was translated? Or was it just something that the Catholic Church cooked it up? 1 Timothy 2:5.
For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus.
Alright, one God, one mediator, not two. So don't bring Mary into the picture. And you know, I'll tell you one thing, if Mary is aware of what's going on this earth, in the Catholic Church, I think that she will be held, or be shaking her head. How sad that is. To build me and make me a mediator. 1 John 2:1. 1 John 2:1-2.
My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. If any man sin, then advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous.
Verse 2.
And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Right. He is the only one that is make a propitiation for our sin, nobody else. Now in the 4th century, the Holy Church forced the Jew to accept the Trinity. Now there are only Jewish converts too, of course. You know. And many Jews are not converted. But they want to force the Jew to accept Trinity. You know, the Jewish people are monotheists. They are not polytheists. Only in paganism, only the Gentiles believe in polytheism, many gods. Because when God chose Abraham to come out of Ur of Chaldees in Mesopotamia, all the people in that region, they already went into polytheism. Remember after the flood, the three sons of Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, they all believe in one God. But through the descendant of Ham came forth all that. They built their empire and they began to worship strange God. They make up their own. You know, just like today you go to India, you can see a lot of kinds of deity, huh? How many gods are there in India? I was told there are 5 million. I mean, somebody said that maybe exaggerated. Huh? Everything is gone. Even a fly is a god. Even in Egypt, you know Egypt, there are all kinds of gods. A beetle is a god too. Uh-huh. The fox. What? Right. All kinds of gods that they can create. The serpent. The peacock. Right. The elephant. The bull. Even the male organ is god. Yeah. Strange. People will tell you. The devil had a great time getting all these people into that. But he had a greater time trying to deceive the Christian. To mess up the word of God and confuse the people, that the people cannot believe us. Oh, the Bible is just one of those religious books. The Bible is more than a religious book. Do you know that? It contains a lot of things. You want to know about finance? It's there. Learn. Investment. Hear what the Bible has to tell you. Psychology, right in there. Psychiatry is in there. That's why I learned it from there. We are not a nurse, psychiatric nurse. Yeah, it's there. Right. You know? It's all there. And how to build houses is still here. It tells you everything you need to know about the environment, the people, and how what's going to happen in the future as well. It tells you all this. And scientifically proven that no man can write this Bible. There are almost 40 authors of the Bible, 66 books. A span of almost 2,000 years. The book was written. Some authors do not know each other. And yet everything lined up with only one thing. And that thing is the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ. From Genesis all the way to Revelation, you can see that. From the book of Genesis already, it talked about the seed that is to come, and that was Christ. What else? Is there any book in war? Religious book? What do you have? No religious book. It's a lot of just chanting. It tells you about good life. Yeah, you know, Confucianism is a good religion. But religion does not save you. It only make you a better man. Yes? One of the best philosophers. And that was Confucius. You know? And I came from one of his disciples. And you know that. His beloved disciple. Just like Jesus had beloved disciple John. My line, the God family, came from one of Confucius' youngest disciple, and Confucius loved him very much and changed his name to God. He has a lot of very good philosophy about life. Yes. But if that doesn't save you, you can be as good as you are. As the Bible says, all your righteousness are filthy rags. You know what a filthy rag is? It's one that you maybe find in the kitchen. When you wipe all the oils and everything from the table that people eat, leftover, and then you wipe your face. Would you do that? No. That's filthy, right? You see. And that's what it is. Only Jesus said. Alright, so that's what happened. The false, and he tried to force this upon the Trinity. And they forbid them to worship on the Sabbath. The Jew has always been a monotheist group of people. God revealed to Abraham, I will be your God, my name is Yahweh. I am the I am. I will supply all you need. And I will be a God to you, and you be my people. Specially selected. Why? Why not God select somebody else? Why we all can always say that? Why God didn't go to China and select somebody else? Only China people already moved to China. Yeah? And that's why, as Brother Yingfang was saying about the funeral rites of the Chinese, the pagan, they use, of course nowadays you don't hardly see them. Back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, you can see they use sackcloth. Have you seen them use sackcloth? Yes. Sackcloth. The Bible talks about sackcloth because the Chinese people that came from the Shemitic line went over there, they still maintained the one God until later, where somebody came out with more than one God. It's always some con man that we have today. Jesse Duplantis, Peter Popoff, Benny Hinn, and many others. They come up with all their doctrines. Yes. Now, so, and they also require them to observe the Sunday. And they take their synagogue and make them into stable for horses and cattle and sheep. Think about it. That's what they do to the Jew in the 4th century. Why did they force the religion on people? Like today we have many countries that force the religion on the people. by terrorizing them. Now what we see in India today. The Hindus were going to the home of those Christians when they're trying to fellowship in the home. They beat them up. Molest them publicly. Abuse them publicly. If your religion is true, why do you do that? Is your God so helpless that you need to force your religion by trying to assist your God to get the people to believe in your God? And there are many religions like this around the world. They want you to believe them when you cut your throat. And that's what the Catholic Church did in the Dark Age. Many died for their faith. Many Christian people suffered. Even non-Christians and the Jews, they suffered. And a total of 68 million people died in a 1,000 year of darkness, or less than that. How terrible it is. How could a Jew accept the Trinity? You're going to be kidding. The Jew will not accept the Trinity. As Bob Rack used to say when he talked to a rabbi, you know, trying to, well, get the truth to the rabbi. And he asked him, you believe the Messiah coming? He said, yes. And Bob Rack asked him, who will the Messiah be? And he said, Messiah be God. I said, that's right. You know, but the Jew didn't see that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. Because Jesus Christ came, he did not serve his kingdom at one time. They were looking at the prophecy where there are two parts. They didn't see the first part of his coming to save them first. But they were looking for one, the second prophecy, where Christ would come and serve his kingdom on earth. But the spiritual kingdom was Christ first and prime important. You know. Alright, Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 20, verse 2 to verse 4. Alright? We'll finish off with this next few verses, that's it. And we'll continue next week. Exodus chapter 20, verse 2, 3, and 4. Henry.
Exodus
20,
verse 2, 3, and 4. I am the Lord thy God, which I brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth.
That's right. There's only one God, and there's no Trinity, there's no other God, and the Bible tells us it, and that's what the Jew believe. I am the Lord thy God. The word Lord here, L-O-R-D, capital, means always Yahweh. You can always remember that. When you read the Old Testament, when the letter is in English with capital O, L-O-R-D, all in capital, it means Yahweh. That means to say, I am the only one. But when you read the word as capital L only, and the rest of the letters are small, it's Adonai. It means He is the blesser of the earth. It could be an angel that come in the name of the Lord to bless the earth. The Lord has many names and titles to show the difference of His operation. You understand? So, the Jews know that there is only one Lord. You cannot have images. Thou shalt not make thyself graven images. And today what do we have? Images. Everywhere. Images of Jesus, images of Mary, images of the saints. You know, it's kind of sad that Brother Bram, the Bram Tabernacle, have the image up there on the front. And of course, a lot of Brahmins say, what's that? The prophet did it. The prophet knows what he's doing. Many times the prophet make mistake too. When I say this, they hear it, then prophet get very mad with me. Let me tell you, a lot of time, God allow prophets to make mistakes and see how the follower even do it. He heard about the Bible where there is recorded in the Bible where a young man of God, a prophet, When God told him to do certain things, and when don't eat that, don't sleep that. But yet an older prophet came and deceived him. And the young man trusted the old prophet. And the young prophet paid with his life. Why? What did God do now? You know something about it? This Bible is written for admonition. We have examples in the Bible, and we have no excuse. They don't have an example. Those Old Testament do not have examples. Huh? You see how much it is that we have grace today. Grace is so precious. And yet people who call themselves Christian make a mess of the grace of God. Make the grace of God a disgrace. When you are under the law, you better listen carefully and obey it. What about grace? Oh, Tita Abba, it's okay. No. Grace is grace lower than the law? Or you, which is better for you? Grace or law? That's why I say, for example, in Greek, in the law. You know, take an example, tithing example. Yeah, it's a very good example about tithing. Under the law, they have to give 10% of what comes into their hand. To give it to the Levite, the ministry. Because the Levite do not have any inheritance. They are supposed to be servants of God, they are priests of God, they are supposed to be, you know, interceding and praying on your behalf. Right? And it is said in the book of Numbers, if they fail to give their tithes, and they are to pay their tithes later again, how many percent they added to it? I think, if I'm not mistaken, 25%. If I'm not mistaken, in the book of Numbers. So just imagine, under the law, if they fail to give, pay their tithes, they are taxed, and not 25%. And here we are, grace. What do we do? Yeah, but we're not under the law, we are not duty bound to pay. No, you're not duty bound to pay. Because in grace, God did not ask you to pay your tithes. Because there's no such a law. By under grace, we see what was given as an example by Abraham. But Abraham, he was the first person to give tithes. Did he pay tithes? No, because the law was not there. Right? Isn't it? The law came under Moses. Abraham was not paying tithes. He gave tithes. And the Bible said, all of his God put in his hand, he gave a tenth to God. God gave him all these things, and he took 10% and gave it to God. You see that? Why, God don't need it. But yet he gave it. Because why? He wants to set an example. And we are not under the law. That's what the Bible talks about. The favor of Abraham is not under the law. The favor of Abraham is under grace. And so under grace, do we pay? No, we give. And how do we give? That's why I said, grace is above the law. Don't make the grace under the law. Do you see the example that was set by our father Abraham? Yeah, Abraham is my father. The Jew can say Abraham is our father. And Jesus rebuked them. Huh? Because you see, the seed of Abraham that God promised him is not Isaac. It's Christ. In Isaac is the physical, the natural kingdom of Israel. That they are looking for the kingdom. But to the spiritual seed, they already have the kingdom. Do you know that we are in the kingdom of God? That's what Jesus is our king. The kingdom. We are the kingdom of God. There's a spiritual kingdom. But the Jews are always looking for the natural. That's why under the natural you have to come under the law. That's why they still practice keeping the Sabbath and the Sabbath Adventist thing that they have to keep the law. No. That's what Paul said to the Galatians. Who have bewitched you? That you need to be circumcised? The Galatians, they are out there in the church, they are all, most of them are Gentiles. You have some Jews that came along, the religious Jews, they were converted and they want the Gentiles to be circumcised also. And Paul said, if you keep one law, you have to keep all the law. Can anyone really keep the law and perfect it? The law cannot perfect you. Not the law written on tablet of stone, but the law that is written in the hearts of men of the Holy Word of God. The law of the Word of God is perfect, converting the soul. The law of the Spirit of life. That's what it is. It's different. So, Griffin Images said, in the church they put a Hoffman head of Christ. What I got to do with it? It's just a painting. Yeah, I know they said they look like Christ because that's a vision that men, several men have seen in dreams and vision, and that's why they paint it like this. But why do they put it in front of the church as if they are worshipping that man? Put it somewhere else, away from the front. The crucifix. It's a cross, it's one thing. But having, you know what a crucifix is and what a cross is? When we say a crucifix, we don't mean that. We are not talking about the cross. We are talking about a cross with a hideous figure of, they call Jesus. And you go, look how they make those crucifixes. Some of them, Jesus looks so hideous. Huh? Is Jesus still hanging upon the cross? But Paul said, in the cross of Christ I glory. He's not talking about the cross they wear around your neck, or the cross in the church, or the crucifix. No. In the cross of Christ I glory meant to say that I glory in the death of Christ who gave me life. Without his death, without the shedding of blood, I don't have life. I glory in Christ in that cross of his. Without it, I'm nothing. Without him dying, I don't have eternal life. So, keep away from all those idols. That's what Peter said. Keep away from idols, from fornication, from anything that appears to look evil and is evil. The last verse, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 39. Deuteronomy 4:39 said, know therefore this day and consider it in your heart that the Lord, that Yahweh, He is Elohim. He is God in heaven above, upon the earth beneath, and there is none else. Right? We conclude with this verse. Know therefore this day. Are you convinced? And consider in your heart that the Lord, He is God. That Yahweh is Elohim. Elohim means God in Hebrew. Yahweh is God. He is the God of heaven above, in heaven above, upon the earth beneath, and there is none else. There is none else. So don't be like science fiction writer. Who, you know, all those Hollywood movies, all about alien of space up there, some kind of creature up there, they worship some kind of a god, right? Isn't it? You know, I find a science fiction writer. I mean, it's good if they write some good story, but there are some of them that their mind is so deep into fictitious writing that they can create all kinds of gods in their books and make into movies, right? You have seen that, don't you? Yeah. There is only one God. No matter what you do, if the world continues and the space exploration is out there and you want to take a rocket, a spaceship to go out there and look throughout the whole universe, you will never find God out there. You will not. Because God is a spirit. He's not in this space. He's in the third heaven. But he looks down, he knows everything because he's omnipotent. And he is omniscient. And because of these two, omnipotent and omniscient, he is omnipresent. He is here as he is over on the other side because he knows. As he sits on his throne. But the Spirit of God doesn't always sit down. Because the Bible says the Spirit of God moves. He moves in the life of people and bring them to understanding. Amen. We'll continue next week. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for grace. Thank you for your word of truth. Thank you, Lord Father, for opening our eyes and our ears, Lord, to spiritually understand and to hear the word of eternal life. So Father, bless thy word. Bless today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.